For a Savior, I'll tell you that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Appreciate you being here this evening. And back in June, I started some messages in Jeremiah, and we've had some other speakers. I let the staff preach some. We were out of town some, and so forth. And then there's a couple in Ezekiel I wanted to do. So I'm kind of back on this last part of this portion on Jeremiah chapter 2. So let me read beginning in verse number 26. Jeremiah, especially in this point here, is warning the people of Judah. So you've seen all this happen. You see what happened to these heathen nations. See what happened to Israel. We need to get things straightened out here. This is going to happen to us. And I've said before, reading Jeremiah is almost like reading the morning newspaper. It's amazing. And we don't see it. Kind of like this morning's message. You know, we think we're living by the word of God, and sometimes we have no idea. We have no idea what it really means. And it's generation after generation can go by, and all of a sudden, we're so far off track, we have no idea what God was trying to do in the first place. And we start to rationalize and reason things away, and we get ourselves in trouble. And Jeremiah is trying to get the attention of the people. And we're going to pick up here in verse 26. We'll kind of review a little bit the first part of the chapter. But in verse 26, it says, "As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel shamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets." Now, when he says they're ashamed, it's kind of like getting your hand, being caught with your hand in a cookie jar. The fact is, he says they're ashamed because they got caught. They're not ashamed because it was wrong. In fact, if mama goes out of the kitchen, they may stick their hand back in a cookie jar again. And he said, "You're ashamed because you're getting caught." He says, "The kings are ashamed, the princes, the priests, the prophets." Verse 27. Watch, saying to a stock. Now, it's kind of like a totem pole, a wooden idol. "Saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us." See, they put their back to God. They're not looking at him. They're saying, "What do you mean? I got my hand in a cookie jar? Okay. They turn their back, not their face. They kind of look, but they're not going that direction. They're just making it look like they're listening. But when they have trouble, they're going to say, hey, God, please. Well, see, God's not helping us. He must not be there. Verse 28, "But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee?" All right, you got a God? Well, where are they? "Let them arise. If they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah, wherefore will ye plead with me?" What do you need me if you got all your gods? They were fine the other day when you were doing as you pleased. And now all of a sudden, when it's doing as you pleased, it got you in trouble, all of a sudden you want to change gods. Verse 30, "In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." That's why Bibles draw dust. We forget him days without number. Verse 33, "Why trimmest thou the way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I'm innocent, surely his anger shall not turn from me." Surely his anger shall turn from me. "Behold, I will plead with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gottest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou that hast ashamed of Syria, yea, thou shalt go from forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Interesting, we talked about that this morning, about how to prosper. It says here we're not going to prosper. Let's pray. Tonight we're going to talk about trading gods. Trading gods. Substituting. It's trading gods. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the warning here. And Lord, your word is as fresh and new every morning, just as always was. There's no temptation hath taken us except that which is common to man. And Lord, we've been here before you. This is your word. This is your word for all eternity. And Lord, this is the Old Testament. Here's our ensamples to teach us, just so we may look in the mirror of your word and not forget. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this evening. Individually, we like to talk about this as the nation, but the nation's built up is built of people. It's made of people. The consistency of the nation is people, and those people are us. And Lord, I can't make decisions for anybody else, but I do know that I can make decisions for me, and I will be held accountable. And everyone in this room, we will be held accountable for our own decisions. We can't blame anybody else. No one else, not our parents, nobody else. We cannot blame anyone else. We have to look at God ourselves. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this evening. I need you. I need your spirit to move and do a work, a long-term work, a lasting work in our heart. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, at the beginning of this study, and I'm not going to give you all this because I preached on you back. You can listen to the internet there. You can listen to the messages on our website or order the CDs. But I said we have, it's been some months ago after this point, we have a cause. If nothing changes in the hearts of the people of our nation is going to be carried away into captivity just like of our own making. We may still be in this land, but we're going to be carried away. We're not going to have the freedoms that we had. God is our refuge, our help in time of need, and not the political system. There's a cause. The life and the welfare of our people, both temporally and eternally. We have a cause. We also found we have a calling. We have a calling to be light and salt in this world. If it's going to change, the church is going to make the difference. You know, we all kind of throw up our hands and think, no, who in the world am I going to vote for in the election? But that's not the answer anyway. You realize the people that our nation put into office are merely a reflection of who our people are. What we need to do is change who we are so the reflection is different. We have a calling. That's our calling. It's our duty. We found out also we had a commission. We found out that God gives us the authority and power to do what we need to do. This is the church. The job of the church is to win others to Christ. Everyone around us that we can win, then teach them all things whatsoever have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. That's what we need to do. And if we're not doing it, we get so self-consumed, we're much like the world, we're so busy doing this and doing that. We Christians have their hand in the cookie jar and kind of looking over the shoulder to see if God's looking. And then we wonder why another generation has gone down the tubes further than the last generation. We have a concern. We're not concerned. If we are not concerned, we need to get our heads out of the sand. Things are heating up around the world. We have issues. All these things that all the debates they talk about, just safety, security, homeland security. And now if you want to say that, but the fact is, I think a lot of this because the Lord's lifted his hand off because we've been doing a bunch of things right here behind his back. He's not looking. Doesn't matter who you are. We can do whatever we want. We got to be careful. We have thrown out the word of God. Nehemiah. As Nehemiah, we should be weeping over the destruction of our nation. Morally, spiritually, we're in shambles. And it seems that no one cares and no one's willing to do anything about it. I say that in general. But the fact is, in general, very few people are willing to do it. If no one else does it, Lighthouse Baptists ought to do it. And then if you remember this, we had a citadel. Got all my C's in there. A fortress. God's with us, though. You walk with him, then he's walking with you. You don't walk with him, then don't expect him to be walking with you. He's not going down in the mud to walk with you. He may reach out his hand and pull you out of the mud when you say, Lord, save me. But he's not going to go down in the mud and walk with you. You want to see God do it, then you know, walk where he does. Now, in Jeremiah 2, the first part of this chapter, we found out that he says that we used to love God. Verse 1 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, set apart unto the Lord. His increase and his fruits of the that devour were shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. He says, you used to love me. And there was a time when America, whether not everybody in the world, not everybody in America was saved. Not everybody in America loved God. I understand that. But there was at least a fear. But there were some folks who truly feared God. Do you realize in the Great Awakening that the thing that was the heart when the sinners in the hands of an angry God was preached? Do you realize what the problem was in that little area up there? They said the teens would stay out all night and hang around at the corner and go down to the pub. He says, oh my soul, the world's falling apart. He says, he found out that the teens, both the men, the ladies and the young men were out there together without chaperones. He says, oh my soul, we're falling apart. What would he think today? Jesus says, the Lord then says, you used to love me. What chased you off? Look at verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they're gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and become vain? What did I do to chase you off? Verse 6 says, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness? In other words, he says, we don't even miss God. We don't miss God in our lives enough to go looking for him. We don't care enough about God that he's in our lives or not, at least not until he takes his hand of protection off of us, and then we're attacked, and then all of a sudden we wonder where God is. Not that we want to get right with God, but we want God to be our protection. I hate being used. I think God does too. We've been so blessed that we think we've got it all under control. How bad is the situation? Verse 8 says, the priest said not, where's the Lord? They that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal. The prophesies are telling you what the world says. Listen, we're in a place in our country right now where there's more psychology, secular psychology coming out of the pulpits than the Word of God. I'm sorry, we're worshiping the world's philosophy. Your problem is your mother hated you. Your problem was your dad never said, I love you. Well, come on. All those are fine. Those are things that we should deal with. I understand. But the fact is, you've got a decision maker right in your heart. We ought to use it. We are not going to be able to stand in front of God and say, yeah, but that, because they know. You have a brain. You have a heart. You've got a decision maker. What did you do? If nothing else, you would have said, you know what? That was wrong. I'm not going that way. We play with it and play with it and play. God's not willing, though, and ready to give us up. Verse 9. Wherefore I will yet plead with you. Grapple with you, saith the Lord. And with your children's children will I plead. For generations. Verse 10. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see and send unto Kedar and consider diligence, see if there be such a thing. In other words, the heathen don't even see such things like this. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Why in the world would we give away a God to get a hunk of wood? So, well, we don't do that. I'm not so sure we don't. There's a lot of things that we trust to get us through life. And if you're trusting something other than God, then that thing is your God. Half the nation changed their gods with are yet no gods. And so the charge against us is in verse 13. He says, for my people have committed two evils. It's actually two sides of the same coin. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Parents, if your kids ever come to you, they got themselves in trouble, and they're telling you the story, and they're trying to back it up, and their story's not holding any water. You know what I'm saying? There's holes all over this story. It's not going to hold any water. That's kind of what he's saying here. You know, it's amazing how people will conjure up and put these things together. And it all looks fine and noble, but it doesn't hold water. It's not going to make any difference. It's not going to change who we are. It's not going to do the job we want to do. What we've done is forsaken the fountain of living water, the flowing. God says, listen, here's the word of God. I've got something good for you. I've got life for you. Don't turn it away. Don't push it away. But instead, you know, see that fountain of living water is probably attached to a couple things. Like, you know, can't live with my girlfriend. I have changed my vocabulary. I can admit myself a sinner and receive a Savior. So instead of doing that, that's hard. Let's do another way. Let's see if we can come up with some other things. Some other possibilities. Give ourselves another chance. And he says, listen, he says, we've enslaved ourselves. You've hewn out. You're working hard at a big bunch of nothing. Come with some kind of story. Verse 14 says, is Israel's servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, verse 19 says. Why are we having all this problem? We've brought it on ourselves, and we're going to have to learn the hard way. Now that brings us to verse 25. He says, withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst, but thou saidst, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As a thief, he says, listen, that's who I am. That's where we are. That's just what we're going to be. I think about these kids here. Now, there's a variety of homes that they come from, and I understand that. Some of the parents are here tonight. I appreciate that. But there's lives that they come from, and they feel like they're stuck there. You may be in the same lot here. You say, well, you know what? I just, this is just what it is. This is just how we are. This is life. We've loved strangers. That's what we're going to do. And yes, as a thief, verse 26, is ashamed when he's found, so is the house of Israel shamed. They, their kings, and their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. They're kind of embarrassed because they're caught with their hand in a cookie jar. But they're not going to change. So what do they do? Verse 27, they say to a stock, thou art my father. Say to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me. You know, have you ever noticed that the world likes to be spiritual, but they don't necessarily want to get God in on it? Or they want to label it with God. over and over and over. You just, again, I know some folks don't want to watch the news anymore, but I feel like I need just to see where the world is. Some of you are going to get mad at me here, but go ahead. Some people love their animal more than a human being. I'm not trying to be mean. And does an animal seem to have a personality? Yes. But we have a living soul. It's different. I'm sorry, it's different. You don't get mad at me. There's some people who have gone to a point where they almost worship their animal. It's getting kind of weird, almost like that animal is grandpa, reincarnated. I'm serious. You know where you get that kind of stuff? Out of the jungles. Out of the folks that had no idea of truth. They've made this up. We're going around. We're coming up with the same things. So tonight, let me ask you some questions. In verse 28, he says this. So how's it working? You see what we've got here? So how's it going for you? Verse 20, he says, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. He says, you've got a God for every city. He says, listen, we're in trouble. Things are rough. If we're not careful, we're going to be led off in captivity. If we're not careful, our way of life is going to be stolen from us. And here we are out worshiping all the weird things in the world. All these things are important to us. I am sorry, you're going to get mad at me about this, but I'm not into having a vigil with a candle. Now, I'm not saying anything about fact of loss of life. The thing is, you want to do something, let's change the hearts of the people so we don't want to be scared to walk downtown. Amen. And how do you do that? Give them Jesus. Amen. We all feel real spiritual. Here's what it gets me. And Christians, get in on this. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be uncaring. Somebody dies, and they say, Joe dies, and so we're going to pray for Joe. Too late for Joe. Now, you want to pray for comfort for the other ones. You want to pray the others will come to know Christ through the situation. Fine, but praying for Joe's not going to make the difference. He's gone. We missed that one. But what about the next ones? We don't want to lose the rest of them. Some little 10-year-old boy was shot in York this past weekend. 10-year-old boy was shot in York. Any 10-year-olds here tonight? Any 9-year-olds? 11-year-olds? Shot. How's it working? We go to our gods, and then when everything goes sour, we say, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. God says, ask another question. First, he says, so how's it working? And number two, he says, why are you coming to me? Look at verse. He says, listen, I've tried to get your attention, but you didn't want to have anything to do with me. Look at verse 29. He says, wherefore will you plead with me? Why are you grappling and wrangling, contending with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Listen, he's saying, we're the ones that have moved away. He didn't move. He didn't move. You say, well, this is such a depressing message. It's only depressing if we don't come to him. If we come to him, it's okay. It's a wonderful thing. Because he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But we've got to take his yoke upon us. We've got to get in with him. We've got to do what he asks us to do. We're grappling. It says, in vain have you smitten your children. Listen, you say, well, oh, and a terrible thing. All the things that happen to children these days, it is terrible. Now, if those children are not up to the age of accountability yet, I think they die to go to heaven. I think they do. Now, if they are up to age of accountability, I guess there's other things that happen. You know, they're going to be held accountable to God. And I guess the wage of sin is death. But instead of saying, I guess we're going to have to change our ways, we just get the town together for a vigil. Or we get mad at God. Well, how could a loving God do such a thing? He says, our own sins. He says, they've received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. He says, your families are falling apart. You've been roasting the preacher for lunch for a while now, and now you've taught the next generation that the things of God are not worth much more than a free meal once in a while. I've had people tell me that's the job of the church, to feed the people. Now, should we be caring about people? Yes. But that's not the main job of the church. The main job is to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give them the bread of life and the fountain of living waters. He says, you're doing away with those that are attempting to give you truth. You see your children being hurt and all this mess, but you still just keep on your ways. He says, do you see what's going on? You see, and yet you say you're done with God. Look at verse 31. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness unto thee and unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. He says, the worse we get, the more we say is, I want to be the boss of my life. I want to do as I please. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. Satan says, hey, if you eat of the fruit, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. You get to make the decisions. You know, God isn't very loving. Because, see, he still calls sin, sin. That's what people say. Even though the sin hurts us. Another question. When's the last time you seriously thought about God other than at church? I know there's some folks in here who do daily devotions and so forth and so on. I understand that. Look at verse 32. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Now watch me here. He says, we're so full of the things of the world, and yet we haven't thought about God for days without number. Old saying, when you get up in the morning, do you say, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning? You know what we think about? We think about a job. We think about our kids. We think about our house and our car and the boat down at the lake and our motor home and the vacation coming up and the motorcycle and the contrary neighbors. Well, have you prayed? I'm serious. Have you actually prayed? Have you actually said, Lord, what role do you want me to play in all this? Can I actually be a blessing? Have you read your Bible? Have you made the book of the law to not depart out of thy mouth, but you meditate on it day and night so you can observe to do according to all that's written therein? Has the book of the law been on the tip of your tongue? He says, listen, you got the maid, you know, she can't forget her ornaments. What's he saying? Girls love all the pretties, don't they? They do. And it's okay to have some pretties. But that's not all what the world's about. He says the bride gets all dressed up for the wedding day. Of course she does. But sometimes we spend so much time dreaming about all the stuff we're going to do tomorrow, the things down the road. We got this plan, we got that plan, we got that, and God's nowhere in the middle of any of it. You carry on a conversation. The Bible says, out of the treasure of your heart, if it's the good treasure or the evil treasure, out of the treasure, what we treasure in our heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth? Now, listen, I know we got to deal with things at the home, and I know you need to deal with things in marriage and all those kind of things. But have we forgotten him days without number? Days and days and weeks and months, even years go by. Now, I'm glad we're not like this, but I've had people tell me that they go to churches, even independent Baptist churches, and they don't really have to open their Bible because they're not going to read out of it anyway. Now, I know I've had people complain because I use too much scripture. Personally, I know there's a place for it, but sometimes I have a problem when the fact is that the preacher reads a scripture, closes the Bible, and departs, and we never return. I don't want to know what he's thinking. I want to know what he's thinking. And when you open the Word of God, you're open the mind of God. You want to see what he's thinking? Well, let's find out what he's thinking. You might be surprised what he's thinking. Week after week after week. Now, where's that Bible? You've heard about heard the mother. The preacher came to visit the house. And the little girl was there, the mother was there, and she says, dear, go get the book that mama loves. And she came back a little while later with a JCPenney catalog. No, we don't see, kids don't even know what JCPenney catalogs are anymore, do they? Go get the book that they love. That's the one. Where is it? It's the one sitting over there on the Bible. It's on the top. As long as we have our trinkets, we think we have it all. We have our phones, our computers. Hang on. I'm not trying to be mean. Our tattoos and our piercings, our clothes and our hairstyles, our Pokemon Go app. People are falling off the side of the earth trying to follow that thing, walking into the road, into the water. Could we be so obsessed with knowing God that we're that distracted? Oh, my soul. So when's the last time you seriously thought about God other than at church? Number four, are you working at getting more of God or getting more of the world? Are you working at getting more of God or more of the world? He says, we keep tweaking things so we can have more of the world in our life. Verse 33 says, why trimmest thou the way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Now, it says, why trimmest thou the way to seek love? He's basically saying this, we turn from God and do as we please. And then God allows the hurt and the destruction, and instead of turning to God, we seek love and acceptance and pride. Now watch me. Again, we turn from God. For instance, our society has turned to God in homosexuality. And yet we seek love and acceptance. We're trimming this and trying to come up with love. We're seeking love and acceptance in a pride march. And again, I said it again, that's a good name for it, pride. We have a candlelight vigil, but God loves us with an everlasting love. That is the love your heart is really longing for, but what we're doing is we're out here trying to gather up some kumbaya moment. Well, what we need to do is confess our sins, turn from it, and turn to a holy and righteous God. And he said, listen, it says, also in thy skirts is found the blood of souls of poor innocents. I think he says, there are people who kill for love. People have, illegitimate relationships and they call it love. People put unborn babies out of their possible misery by killing them before they are even born, and we call it love. People do this publicly and proudly. Some folks are upset with me right now because I dare mention these things because I might make someone feel bad, and yet we don't care if the Lord God of all creation is upset. Well, this is the 21st century. We need to be politically correct. I need to be biblically correct. And watch, he says, I have not found it by secret search. Said, I didn't have to go look for it. It's everywhere. It's right out there. It's blatant. We think we're spiritual and innocent. Verse 35. Yet thou sayest, because I'm innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Innocent! Didn't God just show us what we are? And we think, well, I'm not a bad guy. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm innocent. I mean, comparatively. I mean, there's a lot of bad people out there, but I'm not like them. I'm innocent. Listen, God knows I meant well, so it's all good. Now, your definition of God that you've created says you meant well. Listen, some people say, well, it may be sin in God's eyes, but we love one another. So we're innocent according to our philosophy. So God is going to have to go along with this one because, see, we're innocent. It feels right. See, I don't feel condemned, so it must be okay. I know I'm being kind of sarcastic with you here tonight, but do we not have a brain? Do we not look at the book? God makes it clear. We don't get to make the choices. We don't get to lay down the law. God pleads for us to think again about all of us. He says, look, he says, behold, I will plead with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned. That's where we're sitting. And we wonder why we're being led into captivity. We wonder why God's taking his hand of protection off of us. We do what we want to do. The next 6-8 weeks on Sunday morning, as the Lord leads here, we're going to go through the Ten Commandments. Well, I know what the Ten Commandments are. There's a lot of ramifications we don't think about. We think we're innocent. We think we're obeying the law. We think God's good with us. We don't have an idea of what God's thinking. We have redefined everything. We think, and I say we, you know, I'm talking about our society. Our society has gotten to the point where one of the worst sins you can do is call something a sin. Do you realize that most of the world think that we are the dangerous ones in our society? We're the crazies, so they think. How dare we say that this person can't love that person? They should be able to love whom they want to love. You can love who you want to love. I'm not talking about love. I'm talking about lust. That's the problem. It's not love, it's lust. First John 1, 6 says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We think, our society thinks, you know, God and we and us are just like this. You know, we're just like this. But we're not doing what God does. We're not walking where he walks. We're going someplace else other than where he is. We're walking down here in the mud, taking the low road, and God's up there in the high road. We're not on the same road. If we walk in darkness and say we have fellowship, we lie and do not the truth. We're not doing the truth. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Why did he throw that in there? Because that's how you walk in the light. You're going to mess up. But you can get back in the light. Confess your sins. If he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins. If we say that we have no sin, 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. How many times we say, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me? Well, as long as it's not big, as long as no one else can see it, I'm okay. Now, I don't think it was any of these kids. I'm almost positive. In Vacation Bible School, we always do a thing where we gather up money. We take an offering for a missionary. We don't charge the kids for Vacation Bible School, but we teach them to give. And that money goes toward a mission program. Actually, this year it went to the McConkie's son who's out there in Yuma, Arizona, trying to get a church started. And we had a plate out there. And there was a few kids who wanted to take out rather than put in. No. I hate to say this. We had somebody who took a Bible out of a bag. There was some money that was taken at some of the Lighthouse Kids, Lighthouse Vacation Bible School dollars, the points that they earned to take to the store. They stole them out of the bag. They really don't have any idea. That's where we are in our society. And if you ask them if they sin, no. It's just kind of, it's not a sin, it's looking out for yourself. And the fact is that's kind of extreme, but the fact is we do that. Well, everybody kind of does that now. So it's okay. Well, I know back years ago they wouldn't do that, but now, it's just one of those things. Well, if it was a sin then it's a sin now. Last point here. Running with the world is not going to get us anywhere good. Running with the world is not going to get us anywhere good. Look at verse 36. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, and thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Now that word gaddest is an old word, and it kind of means running off here and there. Why are you running here and there trying to change your way? It says they're always looking for the newest and the greatest answer for their problems, but they refuse to simply seek the real answer, God. Watch. Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou wast ashamed of Syria. What's he saying? It says you're going to the world looking for answers, and then you're going to find that they had no answer. Then you're going to go over this part of the world and look for an answer over here. Well, then you're going to go over here and look for an answer here. Oprah used to have all the answers. Dr. Phil had all the answers. Then you got The View. They have all the answers. And then you've got, they all have all the answers. And listen, a new book comes out. And it's a New York bestseller. And it's got all the answers. And then we got another book. It's going to have all the answers. There's only one book that has all the answers, and if it doesn't agree with this one, you don't got it. This is it. This is the book with the answer. He says, you said, you know what? You watched Assyria, and you thought, well, let's do that for a while and see how that works. Well, it didn't work, and they were kind of embarrassed. So he says, now you're going to go down to Egypt. You're going to be embarrassed down there too. Why don't you just do what God's called you to do? Why don't you just go ahead and get to the Word of God? He says, listen, you're going to go to the world looking for answer, and you're going to find they have no answer. And it was stupid choice to search there. And you're going to be in the same situation, if not worse. And you're going to go even look more like a fool than you did the last time. You're going to be embarrassed. Verse 37, yea, thou shalt go forth from him. In other words, either way, you're going to go away from God. No matter what direction we go in the world to find our answers, it's still away from God. Understand that? No matter what direction we go, that if it's not toward God, it's away from God. We're heading toward the world. And it's all going to go up in smoke. He says, verse 37, yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thy head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. God's not going to allow your confidence in wickedness to work. And don't expect him to honor your feigned confidence in him when you find that the world just eats you up and spits you out. How serious are you about God? We cannot play games. We've played games long enough. And that's why we are where we are. A couple statements and I'm done. God does not change. I'm the Lord God, I change not. He does not change. Makes no difference if you're in the 18th century, the 19th, the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd. 24th century, live long and prosper. You know, I mean, I don't care where you are. You get out of Star Trek, God's word's not going to change. Watch this. God does not move. When I say that, listen, if you're away from God, it wasn't him that moved. If we're not close to God, it's not God that has moved. We go chasing after the world and wonder why God's not enthralled with us. Nothing is going to change until we get serious about this thing. He says there's blood in our skirts. Folks, abortion is wrong. Now, maybe you've been through it and you've done it. And I'm thankful that God is a forgiving God. But he's forgiving when we come to him, when we confess our sin. He's faithful, does it every time, and just to forgive our sins. Why is he justified in forgiving our sins? He's already paid for them on the cross. Hang on. I'm going to use this word. The little ones don't need to know about this. Fornication is wrong in whatever form it comes. Now listen to me. Fornication is wrong in whatever form it comes. We can justify it. We can color it up. We can change the terms. We can do this. We can do that. It's still wrong. It's sin. Huh? Come on. Dude, we're afraid to say it.
Because I know somebody who's in the middle of it.
I know too. You love them. You care for them. You want to bring them back into fellowship and all those kind of things. But the fact is, we're not going to do them any good if we just smooth it over. Now, we don't have to air all their dirty laundry to the neighborhood. I don't think we need to do that. But when we deal with it, like this morning's message, we want to see God prosper and have success and whatever. Well, don't expect that if we're going against his law. And fornication against his law in whatever form it comes. Heterosexual, homosexual, whatever. Drunkenness is wrong. The drugs are wrong. Lying and cheating in whatever form it comes is wrong. It is. It's not just for the kids. Now, don't you lie. Parents, now, don't you lie. It's wrong. Stealing in whatever form it comes is still wrong. Well, it's just this. Well, did you get permission? Well, it's not yours. Keep your stinky fingers off of it. It's not ours. It's still wrong. Listen, seeing how close we can get to the ways of the world without sinning is wrong. Where's your heart? The thought of foolishness is sin. We are loving the world and wondering why God's not jumping for joy when we throw him the bone of gracing him with our presence in church on Sunday morning and suffer through another morning of God's word with that long-winded guy behind the pulpit. Who studied because he wants you to get as much as you can while you're there. Yeah, I get too long. And I know the brain can only absorb as much as the backside can endure. I understand that. But you know what? We ask our kids to go to school and sit through six classes 45 minutes apiece. Day after day after day after day after day. And if they came home and said, Mom, I can only go through two classes. What do you mean you can only go through two classes? Get back there to school. And we complain about 40 minutes of God's Word. You know what I think the problem is? I don't think it's the 40 minutes of sitting. I think it's the 40 minutes of what's being heard. We can sit in front of the video game three hours straight. We can watch some stupid old love movie 2.5 hours straight. Crying, weeping, up. And we tell us that the Savior loves us, died for us, loves you with an everlasting love. And we'd be in hell if it wasn't for His grace and His mercy. And all of a sudden, well, if He ever going to stop. One more. Listen, this is tough. This is tough. I'm just telling you, we're further away than we think we are. We dress like the world and act like the world and please the world, and even deny we know the Lord by our words and our ways, and then when things get tough, we come crying to God and wonder why He's not doing anything. You know what? You know why we do this? You know why we dress like the world, we act like the world, try to please the world, even deny our Lord? Because we don't want to be embarrassed. But you know what we blame it on? Well, we don't want to offend anybody. I don't offend anybody. I've done this before, and you don't want to pray in public because you're going to bow your head's going to offend somebody. Come on. Turn. Are you all offended? All right, I'm going to really offend you. You know why they're offended? Because they feel guilty. And the way I feel is what truth is. And if I feel bad, then you've made me feel bad. We serve and trust the world. If that's the case, then let the world take care of you. That's what he's saying. And by the way, we all talk about dressing like the world. I'm not trying to be mean. Do you know that transgender men know how to dress in order to make sure everyone think that they're women? Right? They know how they dress. They'll dress so that everybody know that they will think that they're a woman. Somehow, women and even some Christian women don't want to be told to dress in a way that makes them clearly evident that they're a woman. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just saying God made us male and female, and He said it was very good. God's design brings glory to God. To go against God's design is to try and stop God from getting the glory. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, and I know there's some styles changed, a few things, but the fact is, a lady is a lady. And a man is a man. And it's weird how they talk out of both sides of their mouths. They got some man who says that we're all the same, we're all equal, there's no difference, but he wants to be a woman, so he's going to dress like a woman. Well, how can you dress like a woman if there's no difference? But there is a difference, and we all know it. And some woman wants to dress like a man because the world is so stupid, and we listen to it. You know what I think? I think a woman is equal to a man in all ways as a person spiritually and what she does, what she brings to society. But you know what the world has told you, ladies? You can't be equal with a man unless you're just like one. That's what they're saying. You can't be equal with a man unless you can do what a man does. You can't be equal with a man unless you look like a man, unless you dress like a man, unless you do men's work. Wait a minute, you're telling me there's men's work and women's work? You see, she said, I want to be equal, so I'm going to be like him. You're the one that's been fooled. God says, you're important, he's important, just like you are. That's the way I designed you. We're a help meet. We're fit together. We're meatly joined together. In fact, it says, when it says a help meet, that word meet there means we're a perfect fit because we're the opposite. We're completers. She's not less. Don't swallow the world's philosophy. They're the ones that are saying, you're not worth as much. We're just different. Get a $100,000 limousine. And a $100,000 bulldozer. What's their value? $100,000 the same. But I'll tell you what, in a couple of weeks here, I don't need a limousine on this backfield over here. In fact, if it's a big old bulldozer, it might be full of rust and it's full of grease and it's got junk on it and it's got dirt and mud caked around the corner, but it's gonna be a beautiful thing when it starts moving dirt. But the fact is, if I showed up for a fancy night out with my wife and I show up in a bulldozer, I don't think she's going to be real happy. But they're the same value. You need the ladies to refine us a little bit. Amen. Not good for a man to be alone. But the fact is, ladies, don't expect a man to be a woman. You didn't want to marry a woman anyway. You want to marry a man. So if he's got a little bit of dirt on his shoes, he's been out working, being a man. You know, I mean, listen, let him be a man. Our world is stealing what God has given us. And see, we've been sucked into it little by little by little. And when we go against the glory of God, I'm serious, the joy leaves. I remember years ago, you could tell a joke and it was corny and everybody laughed. That's because their joy level was already at the top and all you could do is shake their glass a little bit. And if I shake this, you know, a little bit, it's going to come out. What's in your heart comes out. But I'll tell you where the joy level is of the world now. Amen. There's nothing there to come out anymore. Because we've stopped going to the living waters. We've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And all we've got is an empty glass full of dirt. And we wonder why we're dry and tired and not making it. We would run into the world and then find our lives in shambles. Our own wickedness is correcting us. Our own backslidings are reproving us. We need to wake up and smell the coffee. I call it skunk juice, but I can't stand the smell of it anymore. I don't know why I can't. But anyway, I got kids who drink it all the time, and I can't take it. But anyway, we cannot be running toward the world and toward God at the same time. But it's not that bad. Apparently, it is. If our nation is going to change, the people of our nation is going to have to change. If the people of our nation is going to have to change, the churches are going to have to change. For the churches to change, the people will need to change. And for the people of the church to change, individuals who sit in the pews, who have forgotten, having sought for him for days without number, are going to have to get serious about this and change. And I'm calling us to make a difference. In Ezekiel chapter 9 a few weeks ago, we talked about the marked man. If nothing else, do it for your own family. Well, I'm not going to change the world. It's a lost cause. I can change what's going on underneath my roof. And I change what's underneath my roof. You change what's under your roof. You know what? We start changing what's underneath this roof. You start changing what's underneath this roof. You got to have the folks say, wait a minute. They got something I don't have. I think I want that too. There's enough independent Baptist church in York County. We could change what's on underneath the roof of all the churches in York County. We could make a difference. We could change our county if we would just do it. The upper room started with 120. We got a little bit more than that here tonight. But we got to get serious. Father, thank you again for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, I just don't want to blow a lot of air out. Individuals need to get right with you. Make some hard decisions. Stop being worldly correct and politically correct and being biblically correct. Have a fear of God and want what you want. Lord, I pray you just speak to us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Stand to your feet. The piano